This is Audible.
Henrietta Jekyll and Eleanor Hyde. An Audible Originals production by Libby Spurrier.
Hello, John Utterson.
Hi, John, it's me.
Oh, Rich, you back then?
Yep, got back very early this morning. I managed to catch the sleeper from Glasgow.
Good trip?
Yes, the case got thrown out, as I thought it would. Defence lawyers were brilliant, CPS hopeless. I'm in chambers just checking a few things, and I wondered if we had plans for this evening.
No, nothing planned. Supper at home I could cook.
Oh, that'd be great. There's something I need to talk to you about.
I've got a few things to tie up here, but no appointments, so I'll buy food on the way home. I know we've got wine.
Excellent. I'll see you around 6:30.
Fine. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was delicious.
Thank you.
Glad you liked it. So, tell me, what do you want to talk to me about? Nothing upsetting, I hope?
No, it's nothing like that. It's just that something really odd happened to me early this morning on the way from the station to Chambers.
Here, let's finish the bottle. So?
Well, after the sleeper got in, I decided to walk from Waterloo and maybe get breakfast on the way. It was about 6 in the morning, still dark, no one about. Before I got onto the bridge over the river, I found myself in a small side street. It's a quiet little road, but it's obviously been gentrified. All the front doors nicely painted, white shutters everywhere, you know the kind of thing.
Name of the street?
Well, I can't remember. It's one of those little ones that runs parallel to the river.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Well, right at the end, there's a horrible, ugly building, quite out of keeping with the rest of the houses, which are Victorian, maybe earlier. This building is brick, and I think Victorian too, but so out of keeping with the rest of the road, it's odd. It's very plain. I suppose it could have been an old warehouse, but now it's in a terrible state. It's 2 stories high, and there's only one window on the first or second floor which has rusty old bars over it. The whole place looks neglected, and the front door hasn't even got a doorbell or a knocker, and the paint's peeling off. When I walked past, a couple of homeless men were propped up in the doorway.
Oh, there are a lot of homeless around that area.
Yes, it's sad. Well, suddenly I saw 2 people coming towards me. One was a little woman in her mid-30s, I would say, who was stumping along towards me, walking quickly, though I noticed that she had a limp. The other was a girl who looked to be in her early 20s, a nurse in uniform who I imagined was coming off a night shift. They more or less collided at a junction. And then...
What? What happened?
Well, the little woman attacked the girl, just flew at her, and began to beat her up. When she fell over, the little woman simply stamped on her.
No! How awful!
I was so shocked. I was rooted to the spot for a few minutes. It was as if the woman wasn't a woman anymore, but some kind of juggernaut who couldn't stop. And the most awful thing was that all the time, the woman was laughing, and loudly. Then the girl started screaming and trying to get up. Of course, not a policeman in sight.
Chance would be a fine thing these days.
I shouted out as loudly as I could, and the woman suddenly stopped and stood back a little. Without thinking, I made a dash after her and managed to catch her.
Well done, you.
Well, she was very small, kind of hunched over. I managed to drag her back to where there was already quite a group with the nurse who was crying her eyes out. The woman was perfectly cool and made no resistance, but she gave me a look so ugly that it brought me out in a sweat, as if I'd just been for a run.
Goodness!
The people who had turned out were the girl's own family. Someone phoned for an ambulance, and pretty soon the paramedics arrived. Well, The girl was not much the worse for wear, more frightened than anything. A little bruised, and according to the medics, she didn't need to go to hospital.
So she was lucky.
Yes, I think she was. But there was one very curious thing. I had taken a loathing to this woman at first sight, so had the girl's family, which was only natural. But one of the paramedics, I noticed, glared at her, at that little woman, with an expression which quite alarmed me. I asked him if they had met before, but he said no, never.
So what did you do next?
Well, after the ambulance had gone, we thought about taking her to the police station, but decided against it. It would have been her word against mine, as I was the only witness, and the nurse hadn't seen the face of her attacker, so she couldn't really press charges. There didn't seem much point. But I thought it only fair that the nurse should have some financial compensation.
Now look here, you. You don't seem to care that you've done a terrible thing. And to a nurse, someone who works to help others, how could you? You could have killed her. Just look at these people. They're very, very angry, and you just stand there as if you couldn't care less.
Ugh, for God's sake, I'll do whatever you want. Just let me get out of here. Tell me how much you want.
All right. We need at least £1,000 for the girl in compensation.
That's a little steep. She's not even badly hurt. I don't think she needs that much.
Well, it seems a fair amount to me.
Right. Fine. Let's get it over with. Come with me. I'll get you the money. This way.
Well, can't we just go to a cash machine? There must be one around here somewhere.
No, we can't.
Why couldn't she go to an ATM?
Well, she said she didn't have a bank card.
How peculiar. So what happened then?
Well, that's the strange thing. She brought us to that very door in that funny building I was telling you about. She whipped out a key, went in, and came back within a couple of minutes with £100 in cash and, oddly, a cheque for the balance from Coutts Bank, signed by a friend of yours. The whole thing was weird. A woman walks into a cellar door at 6:30 in the morning and comes out of it with another woman's cheque for close on £1,000.
Punched her and then she stomped on her with her foot.
She doesn't seem too bad considering.
Set your mind at rest. I'll stay with you till the bank's open and cash the cheque myself.
Well, that seems a good plan. At least we'll know then that the cheque is genuine and you're not trying to con us out of the money. I suppose we could find a cafe somewhere and have coffee or something.
If we must.
So we all set off, the girl's father and the woman and myself, and found a place to have some coffee. And as soon as the banks opened, we all trooped along to the branch in the High Street. I handed over the cheque myself and said I had every reason to believe it was a forgery. Not a bit of it. The cashier said the cheque was genuine.
That must have been a bit of a shock.
Yes. No one was more surprised than myself. And the person whose name was on the cheque, we know her. So I rather assumed that she was being blackmailed, perhaps paying through the nose for some youthful indiscretion.
Yes, well, that does seem very odd.
Blackmail House is what I call that place with the door now.
And you don't know if the owner of the cheque lives there?
Well, it would seem likely, wouldn't it?
Did you ask the little woman who lived there?
No, but there was steam coming out of the central heating vent, so someone must live there. Is it the little woman? I don't know.
But you know the name of this woman? I would say she's a danger to society.
Her name was Hyde. Eleanor Hyde.
Ah.
This is the last will and testament of me, Henrietta Jekyll, MD, DCL, LLD, FRS. I hereby declare that upon my death, all my possessions and estates are to pass into the hands of my friend and benefactor, Eleanor Hyde.
Why are you saying, in that particular way?
Because in that case, I think I know who signed the cheque.
You do? How?
I think she's one of my clients. And as you said, a friend, of course.
Who?
I think it's Henrietta Jekyll.
Why do you think that? I know you're her solicitor.
Because she made a very odd will a couple of months ago. I can't obviously tell you the details, but I'm pretty sure it's her. Is it?
Yes, it is. In that case, I hope Henrietta knows what she's doing.
What did Eleanor Hyde look like?
I find it hard to describe her. She was small, as I said, and walked very fast with a limp. She had a shock of wiry hair, which looked pretty unkempt. Her clothes were rather mannish, if you know what I mean. An old overcoat and trousers, both a little too big for her, and men's shoes. She wasn't particularly ugly or anything, but I've never met anyone whom I disliked so much at first sight.
By Sunday evening, I was feeling anxious and a little depressed. I didn't feel hungry, and supper didn't appeal. Usually on Sunday evenings we sit down happily with a book or watch a bit of television. But this evening I couldn't settle after what Richard had told me. So as soon as I had eaten a little, I went into my study and to the little safe in which I kept important legal documents. I took out the envelope on which was written Dr. Henrietta Jekyll's will. I had been so shocked at her bequest that, although I had drawn it up, I had refused to advise her on the contents.
This is the last will and testament of me, Henrietta Jekyll, MD, DCL, LLD, FRS. I hereby declare that upon my death, all my possessions and estates are to pass into the hands of my friend and benefactor, Eleanor Hyde, provided that, in the event of my disappearance or unexplained absence for a period exceeding 3 calendar months, the said Eleanor Hyde shall be able to move into my house and live there at my expense until such time as I am officially declared dead and she inherits my estate.
Ever since the will had been made, I'd been worried by it. It seemed such an odd document. And I know the last part doesn't stand up legally, but Henrietta absolutely insisted on it. I knew that she had family, though I don't think they saw each other these days, and of course she never married. The contents of the will seemed to me to be so illogical, this leaving of her estate to someone none of us knew, and she simply refused to explain to me her reasons. Now, what's this all about, Henrietta?
You'll find out in due course, John. Don't worry. I just know this is the best way to proceed.
Well, that was baffling too, and she refused to discuss it further. And now I've heard about this Hyde woman, I feel more worried than ever. From what Richard told me, she sounds a nightmare.
John, come out of there. Come and have a nightcap.
Oh, thanks. Rich, do you think Henrietta might be ill?
I don't know.
She couldn't possibly be in a relationship with Hyde, could she? Oh, I always thought this will was madness, but now I wonder if she's under some sort of obligation to this woman. Oh, hell, I can't just sit here and worry. I think I'll just bob over and see if Hasty's in.
Hasty Lanyon is a sensible chap.
It's not too late, is it? I'll text him. He's known Henrietta for years. He'll be able to reassure me. He's only just down the road and I need a breath of fresh air.
Okay, you do that, if it helps to calm you down.
Oh, yes, he's up. Okay. Won't be long.
John, how good to see you. Come in, come in.
Thanks, Hasty. I hope this isn't too late.
Oh, nonsense. I was just watching the end of the news.
Oh, well, don't let me interrupt you.
Not at all. It was just about finished, anyway. Have a drink.
Thank you.
Good, sit down. A glass of wine, all right?
Oh, lovely. I suppose, Hasty, that you and I are probably the oldest friends that Henrietta Jekyll has. We're all at college together.
I wish our friends were younger. But I suppose, yes, we are. And what of that? I don't really see her these days.
Well, but you used to see her a lot. At one time, I rather thought that you and she...
Ah, well, yes. At one stage, we did have a bit of a thing for one another. But that was before I married Sheila, bless her departed soul. But for the past few years, Henrietta and I haven't seen eye to eye.
But you only really disagreed on points of medicine.
Rather a strong disagreement, I would say. I believe in conventional medicine based on scientific research, and she's immersed in alternative medicine. All those fancy drinks she concocts and sells. And as for the cosmetic surgery, Botox and collagen and all that, Henrietta has let us all down.
Why? Surely if there's a demand for it, she has every right to provide it, and provide it safely. It's not illegal.
But it's not what she should be doing. She should be doing her consultant work within the NHS. We need her expertise, the job she was trained for. And if she needs more money, of course, she could have private patients too, as we all do. But all those strange articles she's written about what I would call schizophrenia, and she calls people's dual nature. All that stuff about separating them out, it's all nonsense. Dangerous nonsense, too.
Did you ever come across a protege of hers? A woman called Eleanor Hyde?
Eleanor Hyde? No. No, never heard of her since my time.
So, there was no more information to be got from Dr. Hasty Lanyon that evening, but I felt a little reassured. Hasty was such a solid figure, so cheerful and decisive. Pimlico was quiet and peaceful as I went home and to bed. Richard was fast asleep, but I found I was quite unable to nod off. As I lay there, wide-eyed until the small hours of the morning, my mind went back and forwards over the problem of Henrietta Jekyll's will. I couldn't stop thinking about what Richard had told me.
It was as if the woman wasn't a woman anymore, but some kind of juggernaut who couldn't stop. When she fell over, the little woman simply stamped on her. The woman was laughing, and loudly. A check for the balance from Coote's bank. I've never met anyone whom I disliked so much at first sight.
The next morning I realised that I really needed to meet this horrible Ms. Hyde. I thought that if I met her face to face, I might be able to understand why Henrietta obviously felt for her as she did. I was seriously worried. What had Henrietta got involved in, becoming a friend of a would-be murderer? I found throughout my life that once you face up to a problem or a fearful thing and look at it squarely, the fear is lessened and one is better able to understand the problem. I thought it would be worth seeing the face of Ms. Hyde for myself, to see if it was as terrible as Richard had made out. I've rarely seen him so upset. So, the following week, whenever I had a spare moment, I would wait in the shop windows of the little street, watching the shabby door opposite. I went there at lunchtimes, if I wasn't in court, and it was close enough to my office in Holborn to be able to leap into a taxi and race back if Roger needed me, as clerks often do. I thought to myself, if she's Ms. Hyde, I shall be Mr. Seek. I was rather pleased with that little joke, though I say it myself. Rich was away on the circuit that week, and when he came home on Friday, I told him what happened.
Well, did you meet her?
I did, on Wednesday, about 10 o'clock at night. Luckily, it was a fine and dry evening, very quiet. Just, you know, the hum of traffic along the embankment.
I hope you kept yourself well hidden.
Of course. Well, I suddenly became aware of an odd, light footstep drawing near. Very different walk to any I'd heard before. The sound was very distinctive.
And was it her?
Yes, it was. She was small, very oddly dressed, bit shabby. And like you said, in men's clothes. The look of her, even at that distance, she didn't look like someone I particularly wanted to meet. Well, she made straight for the door, crossing the roadway to save time. And I went right into the shadows so as not to be seen.
I'm pleased to hear it.
She took a key from her pocket as if she owned the place.
Well, perhaps she does. Had you thought of that?
No. To be honest, I hadn't.
What did you do?
I went over.
Miss Hyde, I think.
That's my name. What do you want?
I'm John Utterson. We have a mutual friend.
So, what do you want with me?
I've been hearing rather a lot about you. I just wanted to meet you.
Yeah. Okay, so, we've met. And, how did you know it was me?
Someone described you to me.
Who?
Henrietta Jekyll. Then she laughed, but not in a pleasant way. And the next moment, with extraordinary quickness, she had unlocked the door and disappeared into the house. I waited for a little while, and when she emerged, I followed her to another property in Soho, which seems to be where she actually lives. What a strange woman she was. She looked very pale and small, with a shock of wiry, dull brown hair, which hadn't seen a brush or comb for weeks. She had an unpleasant smile, somehow a little sneering, and she seemed to have some physical impairment.
Yes, I told you, that struck me too.
I couldn't quite understand why none of these things really explained the disgust and loathing I felt for her as soon as I met her. I mean, there must be something else. I couldn't put my finger on it. And I was now deeply worried about Henrietta. I wanted to persuade her that Eleanor Hyde might be trouble. So I decided to pay her a visit the following day.
Good idea.
Well, I got a cab over there, but when I put my hand up to ring the doorbell, I had a shock. Blackmail House, as you call it, is actually round the corner from Henrietta's home.
How bizarre.
That building must be at the end of her garden.
I'd never made that connection. I suppose because I always approach her house from the other end of the road.
Exactly. And I've never been into the garden, strangely, because mainly I've been there in the winter. And now I thought I'd better go and have a look, if possible. I thought that Henrietta would probably be busy with patients, but maybe I could just find a window at the back and take a peek. Well, the door was opened by Jenny Poole. I don't think you've met her, Henrietta's secretary.
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, she's worked there for years. Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mr. Utterson. Good to see you.
Is Henrietta at home?
I'll see. Do come in. Are you okay to wait here while I try and find her?
Yes, fine, thank you. So I sat down on a comfortable chair in the waiting room, which, as you know, has always been Henrietta's pride and joy, a welcoming place for patients. I've always loved the way she's done it, so that it looks like a sitting room in a country house with a fire burning in the grate. This afternoon, though, I felt so uneasy about Eleanor Hyde that the room failed to work its magic on me.
I'm sorry. Henrietta's not here. We think she went out a couple of hours ago. There aren't any patients this morning.
Ah, please don't think I'm prying, but does Henrietta have a garden?
Yes, indeed, it's beautiful. She had it landscaped a few years ago.
Ah, and do you know what the building is at the bottom of the garden?
Indeed I do. It used to be an old dissecting room, and Henrietta uses it now as a theatre and laboratory.
I didn't realise she owned it.
Yes, she bought it several years ago.
Ah, I saw Eleanor Hyde go into it last night. Is that the norm when Henrietta is out of the house?
Yes, it's fine. Eleanor has a key.
Ah, Henrietta seems to trust that young woman completely.
Well, she does. She told us to trust her too, to treat her as we treat Henrietta, but we hardly ever see her.
I don't think I've ever met her here.
Well, you wouldn't have. She doesn't have her meals in the house. She mostly comes and goes through the lab.
Well, thank you so much, Jenny. It's nice to talk to you. Give Henrietta my love.
Goodbye, Mr. Utterson.
I walked back to my office feeling very depressed. I began to think that Henrietta was in serious trouble.
It sounds as if she might be.
Oh, I have a horrible fear that this woman might be blackmailing her. And if so, for what?
Yes, Henrietta was pretty wild when we were at university together, but then we all had the odd night when we had too much to drink.
Speak for yourself.
But, look, do you think there might be something which this woman has found out about? In that case, it would have to be something which would damage her professionally if it became public.
Well, it's possible. Well, you've known her far longer than I have. I only met her when we got together.
So that's 14?
15 years ago. Blackmail would explain a lot. It's a horrible thought, though.
Oh, I can't think of anything straight away. Mind you, it's made me wonder whether there's anything in my own past which could come back to haunt me.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Johnny.
Well, obviously there are things in my life which I'm not proud of.
But nothing which you could be blackmailed for goodness sake. On the other hand, how about if Horrible Hyde herself has something she needs to keep secret?
Well, now, that's a thought. I wonder how we could find out more about her. It worries me that she has the run of Henrietta's house the way that Jenny seemed to imply. Presumably, she knows that she'll inherit Henrietta's estate in the event of her death. And if she does, I wouldn't put it past her to do Henrietta some injury.
Oh, no. Do you really think that's a possibility?
Oh, I don't know. But I'm deeply worried about the whole situation. I think what I'm going to do is try and see Henrietta again and talk to her about the will and about Hyde and try and find out what's going on to see if she'll let me help her.
Good idea. I'll be fascinated to see how you get on.
Oh, thanks for listening.
Oh, not at all. I'm beginning to be just as concerned as you are.
Well, I wondered if Henrietta had a suspicion that I was worried about her, because a couple of days later she invited me to supper. Again, Rich was out of town, but I knew he would be keen to hear what happened, so I texted him when he got back, and we made a date to meet straight after I'd finished work at our favourite restaurant in Chelsea.
So, tell all.
Well, there were only four of us, her and me, and another couple who I'd not met before, both doctors. The meal was good, the wine flowed, and Henrietta seemed in good spirits. She's put on a little weight since I last saw her.
Well, she was never particularly skinny.
No, that's true. Anyway, she looked relaxed, and she seemed very pleased to see me, so I stayed on after the others had left. I've been wanting to talk to you, Henrietta. It's about your will.
Oh, poor John. I am so sorry to be such a difficult client. I've never seen anyone as upset as you were about that. Well, except, of course, for that pedant, Hasty Lanyon. But he's upset with me about my work and what he calls my scientific heresies.
Oh, look.
I know. Don't tell me. I know he's a friend of yours, and I know he's a good chap.
Oh.
Oh, don't frown like that. But he is a pedantic bore. Go on. Admit it. I've been very disappointed in him. After all, if the Lancet is happy to publish my thoughts every now and then, who is he to criticise?
Yes, I know about the differences between you, but that's between you and him. But the thing I am worried about is this will of yours. You know I never approved of it.
My will, yes, obviously I know that. You've told me so many times.
Well, I'm telling you so again. I've been finding out some interesting things about your friend Hyde.
So how did she take that?
Oh, badly. She went very white and looked, well, scared is the only way I can put it.
I don't want to talk about it again. I thought we'd agreed to drop the subject.
But what I heard about it was shocking. It's abominable. You need to know.
Well, whatever it is, it makes no difference. You don't understand. I'm in a very difficult situation. In fact, a very strange situation. And talking about it won't help.
Henrietta, you can trust me. You know that. Why don't you tell me everything and then I can help you to put the situation right? You can trust me not to betray your confidence. Look, look, I'm your friend as well as your lawyer.
Dear John, that's very lovely of you and I can't thank you enough. Well, of course I trust you more than anyone else I know. But things aren't as bad as you seem to think. So trust me in return. All I'm asking is that you let the matter drop. I'm fine.
All right. If that's the way you want it. But
I'm here if you want me.
Thank you. But I'm fond of Ellie, and I have a great concern for her. I know you've met her. She told me all about it, and I am sorry she was rude to you. But as I say, she is important to me, and I hope that, should I die, you will look after her and make sure she's all right. I'm sure if you knew more about her, you'd be happy to do that, and it would be a weight off my mind.
I can't pretend that I shall ever like her.
You don't have to like her. I only ask for you to help her for my sake when I'm no longer here. Meanwhile, I advise you to steer well clear of her.
Now, why would you say that?
No reason, just saying. That's all.
Yes, but if she has the run of your house, I'm bound to see her every now and again, aren't I?
Just don't get involved with her.
Henrietta, are you saying she's dangerous?
Certainly not. And in any case, I've still got that stick you gave me to defend myself with in case I was ever burgled. I'm quite safe. Just leave her alone.
What did you say then?
What could I say? It was confusing. But I said, okay, and I gave her my word that I would carry out her wishes regarding the will.
Rather you than me.
I'm in a very difficult situation. In fact, a very strange situation. And talking about it won't help.
Police are investigating a brutal murder in London yesterday evening. The victim has not yet been identified, but is believed to be in her late 60s.
More coffee, John?
No, thanks.
I thought this weekend we might walk in Richmond Park. I'm in court again today, but I don't have to work at the weekend. The weather's so gorgeous, and the autumn colours are wonderful this year.
What a lovely idea. Well, who can that be so early on a Friday morning? Oh.
My name is Inspector Newcomen. This is PC Debbie Black.
Good morning, sir.
Officers, good morning. What can I do for you?
Can we come in, sir?
Of course, of course. Please do sit down. This is my partner, Richard Enfield.
How do you do, sir?
Has something happened?
I'm afraid, sir, that it has.
Not to Henrietta Jekyll?
No, sir. Why would you think that?
Oh, no. I didn't mean... Take no notice. What's the trouble?
It's one of your clients, Mr. Utterson. An elderly lady.
Well, who? I have several elderly ladies among my clients. Who is it?
We don't know yet, sir. She didn't have any ID on her. It's a murder.
What?
Last night, near Waterloo, not far from the river, it was witnessed by a young lady from her house. Afterwards, we found a letter in the old lady's pocket addressed to you. We think she was on her way to post it. Here it is.
Oh, it's from Baroness Carew. Deborah. Oh, no. What on earth happened?
She was set on, sir, and just beaten to death in cold blood.
Poor old Deborah, that's terrible. The letter's nothing vital, it's just about a routine adjustment to her will and some legacies. She says she has a new granddaughter and wished to make provision for her. Oh, dear.
I wondered, Mr. Utterson, since you are the lady's lawyer, whether you'd be so kind as to come in at the police station and formally identify the body. We can find out later on today how to get in touch with her relatives, now we know who she is. And we have at the station the young lady who saw the event. She's very much upset, as you can imagine, but she might be able to tell you more about what happened.
Of course I'll come.
Hope you find whoever did it. I'll be off to work, John. See you later.
Yes, yes. After you, Inspector.
Well done, Sarah. You're doing well.
Now, Sarah, drink your cup of tea. This is Mr. Utterson, who is the lawyer to poor old Lady Deborah.
It's okay, Sarah. You can do it.
Hello, Sarah. I'm so very sorry you've had to go through such a horrible experience.
Oh, Mr. Artisan, it was so awful. I don't know how to get it out of my head. I keep on seeing it over and over again.
Right, let's start from the beginning. What time did you first see the old lady, and where were you?
I got home from work around 7. It was such a lovely evening.
Where do you work, Sarah?
I work in the bank in the High Street. I'm a cashier there.
Yes, yes. Go on.
Well, I had my dinner and watched some TV. It was a lovely evening. I sat at the window in my bedroom from around 10 onwards, feeling, you know, happy, relaxed.
Okay. I understand.
So it was lovely to sit at the open window, watching river go by, and the moon was out. And then I saw a sweet old lady. She looked so nice with her white hair and her sweet face. And then I saw someone else was coming from the opposite direction. She was, well, small, and I didn't pay her much attention at first. She had a funny way of walking, that I did notice. They met just underneath my window, and I could hear them talking. I think the old lady was just asking the way or something, or maybe just making small talk. I couldn't really hear the words. But the old lady looked so kind and gentle and polite.
Yes, yes, she was a very nice woman.
I'm sorry, this is very hard for you.
Well, then I looked a little harder at the other woman, and I realised I knew her.
You did?
Yes, she's been into the bank once or twice. I have to say I didn't take to her at all. Her name's Eleanor Hyde.
Eleanor Hyde.
Do you know her?
Last night she was waving a big stick in her hand, which frightened me. It was weird seeing a woman like that with a stick. She didn't seem to be listening to the old lady. And then...
It's all right.
Take your time, Sarah. This is important.
You're doing very well, Sarah, thank you. But if you can possibly describe what happened next for us?
Oh, it was horrible. Because suddenly this Hyde woman seemed to lose her temper and began stamping her foot on the ground and waving her arms about and shouting. She was honestly behaving like a madwoman. I saw the poor old lady take a step backwards. I think she was more surprised than hurt. But then Hyde, oh, it was so horrible. She just bashed the old lady with the stick and knocked her down to the ground, and then I couldn't believe it. She was just trampling on her, just stamping on her again and again. And the worst bit was that all the time she was laughing. I've never seen anything so horrible, and I hope I never do again.
No, no, poor you. It must have been awful to witness.
I could actually hear the old woman's bones breaking, and the way the poor old body was kicked all over the place. Oh, it was awful.
Mm.
Did you see Hyde leave?
No, I didn't. Maybe I was in shock, because the next thing I knew I was sort of lying across my chair and feeling sick.
What did you do then?
I looked out of the window. There she was, lying in the road. And then I remembered what had happened, so I dialed 999.
You did the right thing, Sarah. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Sarah. I'm so sorry you've had to go through this.
Are you feeling okay now? We can take you home in a car, if you're ready.
I just wish I could get the image out of my head, if you know what I mean.
I do know, yes.
Come on, love. I'll take you home.
Goodbye, Sarah, and thank you so much.
So, now, officer, I can go and identify the body, if you like.
Thank you, sir. This way.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Yes, this is Lady Carew. I can say that for certain. Even though she's been so badly bashed about. Oh, this is dreadful. Oh, poor old girl. She wouldn't have harmed a fly.
Let me get this right then, sir. This is Baroness Deborah Carew, well-known peer of the realm, sits in the House of Lords.
Indeed it is.
Good God. The press will have a field day with this. Well, now we need to find this Eleanor Hyde who Sarah told us about.
Oh, my God, I recognise that.
What, sir?
That stick, over there. Oh, many years ago I gave it to a friend of mine.
Oh, yes, sir. And who would that be, then?
Well, It was a present from me to my friend Dr. Henrietta Jekyll. It was a kind of a joke. Look, she went through a stage of being frightened of being burgled, and I thought this would make her feel a little more secure, living in a big house on her own. She used to keep it in her bedroom, just in case.
I see, sir. Well, this is the murder weapon. As you can see, it's a big, stout stick, but the force of the attack broke it in two, so I only have one half of it. We fingerprinted it already, but the attacker must have been wearing gloves.
Well, I think I might be able to take you to Eleanor Hyde's house.
Really, sir? Let's go, then.
The address I have for her is in Soho. Soho Square, in fact. But let's not put on the sirens and blue lights. We don't want to scare her off. In fact, have you got an unmarked police car?
Yes, good idea, sir.
Dreary old morning, isn't it?
Yes, but we need the rain.
This is a very bad situation.
Indeed it is.
I do not have a good feeling about it.
Not often one has a good feeling about a murder.
No, sorry, I suppose not.
We're nearly there. Should be just round the corner.
Number 42 is the house we want.
Here we are. Good morning, madam. I'm Inspector Newcomen, CID. We're looking for a Miss or Mrs. Eleanor Hyde. Is she at home?
Well, she lives here, but she ain't here at the moment. Oh, she's in trouble then. What's she done?
We don't know yet that she's done anything. When did you last see her?
Well, I saw her yesterday, as it happens. She came in late last night, but before that, I hadn't seen her for about 2 months. I'll never know whether she's coming or going. There ain't no pattern to it. She's often away. She just comes and goes, like...
We want to have a look round her flat, if that's okay.
No, I can't let you do that. Not without her permission. It wouldn't be right.
This is a murder investigation, madam. Now, please let us in.
Oh, well, all right then. She uses the flat on the ground floor. It's just the one bedroom and then a sitting room. It's this door here. There you are.
Thank you.
Help yourself.
Good God!
What a mess.
Looks like she's been burgled.
It can't have been burglars. She was in all night and so was I.
Well, this is a right mess. All those clothes all over the floor. Pockets turned inside out. Someone's been rifling through them.
It certainly looks like a burglary.
And look at this. In the fireplace. A half-burned checkbook. Now, why would she try and burn her checkbook, I wonder?
And look, here, look, there's the other half of that stick.
Are you sure?
Yes, this is the one I gave Henrietta.
Right, well, that's enough for me. She must have lost her nerve, or she'd never have left it here. That's incriminating evidence, that is. We need to get to the bank and see if they know anything about her.
And was the visit to the bank helpful?
No, not in the least. Inspector Newcomen was very downcast. It seems the woman has no next of kin, no family, no one we could get in touch with. There was money in the bank account, but there's no sign of a passport application. She's not registered for council tax. The house isn't in her name. She's not on the electoral roll. She doesn't have a driving licence, and HMRC knows nothing about her.
How very peculiar.
The only thing that the bank said about her was that she had a funny walk.
That could well be our Eleanor Hyde.
Absolutely. It's just really odd that she seems to have completely disappeared off the face of the earth. Anyway, I need to pay Henrietta a visit. She'll want to know about poor old Deborah. Jenny, hello. Hope this isn't a bad time.
Oh, hello. No, do come in. Dr. Jekyll's over in the lab.
Thanks so much.
I've never been to the lab building.
No, it's usually just for clients.
What was it like?
Well, the garden is lovely. She's had it landscaped. She's got silver birch trees and huge pots of agapanthus and camellias. It's been really cleverly done.
And what about the lab?
Well, it's horribly drab on the outside, but the old dissecting room is now a modern operating theatre. Quite small, and next to it is a working laboratory. One thing bothered me a little. Henrietta had several cages with rabbits in them, and several of them looked drugged, except for one who looked to me extremely vicious. They all looked pretty miserable. Well, that surprised me. I always thought Henrietta ran a pretty immaculate ship, and animal cruelty isn't something I would ever have thought her capable of. I didn't have time to ask Jenny about it, because she rather rushed me upstairs into a very cosy room, comfy armchairs, nicely furnished, with one of those large freestanding full-length mirrors and glass-fronted cupboards on the walls.
Sounds nice. How is Henrietta?
Oh, she looked absolutely awful. Really, quite ill. How are you, Henrietta? You don't look well.
I'm not well. But it will pass. What brings you here?
I came to tell you the sad news about Deborah Carew.
Oh, yes, I know. I heard about it on the radio this morning, and, well, Jenny bought me a copy of the Evening Standard. It's headline news. Poor old girl.
Deborah was my client, but so are you. And my friend, too. So I want to be sure of something. You aren't concealing Eleanor Hyde in this house, are you? Because that would be madness.
John, I swear to God, I really do, that I will never see her again. Never. I promise you on my life that I have totally finished with her. It's over. Completely over. And actually, she doesn't want or need my help. You don't know her like I do. She's safe, quite safe. And I promise you she'll not be heard of again.
Henrietta, are you sure? You look feverish to me. Are you sure you know what you're saying? Because if she's caught and there's a trial for the murder of Deborah Carew, your name is bound to come up.
Oh, yes, don't worry, I'm quite sure. Eleanor Hyde won't be seen again. I've had a letter, a kind of legal document from her, which I suppose is why it didn't come as an email. I don't know whether I should show it to the police. Would you mind looking at it, John? I trust your judgment. You'll know what to do with it.
It's from Hyde, then. Hopefully there's something in there that will lead us to her.
Oh, I couldn't care less what happens to Eleanor now.
OK, let's have a look. Writer's benefactor. What's... She's saying that her benefactor, which is you, is not to be alarmed for her safety because she knows how to make her escape and her plan is infallible. Signed, Eleanor Hyde. Oh, funny sort of signature. In fact, it's weird handwriting, isn't it?
No, that's definitely her handwriting. See, it slopes backwards. Always has.
Well, it looks harmless enough. How did it arrive?
Well, it was posted through the door. No postmark or anything.
I suppose if we gave it to the police, they might be able to find her fingerprints on it. Now we've put ours on it as well, that's probably not possible. And when we went to the bank...
Oh, you did what?
What's the matter? I went to the bank with Inspector Newcomen. He wanted to try and find out more about the woman. I didn't want him coming here and asking you. What's wrong with that?
No, nothing, nothing. You just need to stay away from her.
Yes, yes, you said that before. Are you sure you're all right?
Yes, fine, fine.
Well, listen, did you keep the envelope?
No, I chucked it. Didn't seem important.
All right, I'll go home and think a little further about what we should do with this letter.
I have total confidence in your judgment, John.
Oh, one last thing. I assume it was Eleanor who made you write that clause in your will about what should happen if you disappeared. The section about how she would inherit everything.
I can't talk about it. Well,
I think you've had a very lucky escape. I think she meant to murder you in order to inherit.
You have no idea, John. I've had more than a lucky escape. You'll never know how lucky I've been.
Henrietta, what are you talking about?
I can't explain it. I can't.
Oh, you're worrying me. Look, I think you just need to rest. Whatever the matter is, you'll be fine. Just look after yourself. Have a nap or something. Oh, go to bed, please. I'll call you tomorrow to find out how you are. Oh, sleep well. Hi, Jenny. I think she'll have a rest now. She doesn't seem terribly well. By the way, did anything come in the post today?
Not a sausage.
Was anything handed in? Just put through the door?
Nothing. There's usually junk mail of some sort every day, you know, for takeaways, but today, nothing.
Right. Thanks, Jenny. I'll ring in the morning.
Thank you.
So does that mean that the letter came in through the back door, through the lab? Or maybe it was written in the lab?
Could be.
After the murder?
Well, maybe, yes. And that means Eleanor's still around somewhere, even though Henrietta swore to me that she wasn't in the place, and seemed to imply she never would be again.
Are you going to show it to the police?
Oh, if I do, it will probably implicate Henrietta somehow. I don't know exactly how, and I'm anxious to avoid that. I might show it to Roger. See what he makes of the note.
Good idea. He knows everything that goes on in the office.
Yeah, and he's been round to Henrietta's house with legal papers to sign. He knows Jenny, has known them both for years, and he's quite the expert on handwriting, so he could have a look at the document from Eleanor.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I want to help her if I can. There's definitely something not right with her.
You have no idea, John. I've had more than a lucky escape. You'll never know how lucky I've been.
More wine, Roger?
Thank you. Don't mind if I do.
Cheers.
Cheers. Ooh. This really is a bad business, John, this murder. Members of the House of Lords ought not to be murdered walking along the street. I mean, nobody should be, but it's particularly shocking. And so violent. Did she know the murderer, do you think?
No, I don't think she did. Look, it'll be top of the news for a day or two. I see that Sarah's hit the headlines. One of the tabloids will have paid her money for her witness account, I imagine.
The murderer's mad, of course.
Oh, it does seem like it. Now, Roger, you know everything that goes on in the office, and I don't have any secrets from you. At least, I don't think I do. But I think you might care to have a look at this. This is a rather odd letter in Eleanor Hyde's handwriting, which Henrietta showed me today. She says it was put through the door. It's a kind of semi-legal document, releasing her from any obligation. Handwritten. It almost shows a concern for her, don't you think? Look at the signature. Bit odd.
The writer's benefactor, Dr. Henrietta Jekyll. Blah, blah, blah. Means of escape. Well, the woman doesn't sound mad, I have to say. Just odd. And she has very strange handwriting.
Ah, well, we all know that handwriting is one of your hobbies and passions. How many times have you been able to help the police? I've lost count now.
I've just been in the right place at the right time once or twice.
Well, you do yourself down. Anyway, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think the writing is
slightly unnatural. It doesn't flow somehow, but it rings a bell. It'll come to me.
More vino? That might help.
Oh, thanks. Oh, could I just have another look at that will?
Henrietta's will, you mean?
Mm. Thanks. Ah, no, here it is. Henrietta's signature. That's what I was thinking. Do you see? There is a distinct similarity between her signature and Eleanor Hyde's signature. Both writing is so similar but sloped differently. See? Hyde's slopes backwards and Henrietta's slopes forwards, but the E's are the same, written like the number 3 reversed. See?
Good God, how extraordinary. Look, Roger, we should keep this to ourselves for the time being.
Oh, of course. Are you going to show it to the police?
I think not. On reflection, I need to mull it over.
Understandable. Thanks for the drink, John.
Oh, well, thank you for sparing the time, Roger. Top up?
I should, Coco.
Well, there's a nasty little problem which neither of us foresaw.
I can't even bear to think about it. The idea that Henrietta might have forged the letter as a cover-up for Eleanor.
She can't have. She's not mad. That would make her an accessory to murder.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so. But I don't like this one little bit, Rich. I really don't. I've locked the letter in the safe together with Henrietta's will.
The autumn turned to winter. A substantial sum was offered by Scotland Yard in return for information about Eleanor Hyde, suspected of the murder of the politician Lady Carew. There was a large memorial service at St. Margaret's Westminster. I went, of course. And everybody who was anybody was there, from the Prime Minister downwards. Her poor family, too.
And there's still no news of Eleanor Hyde at all, is there?
Not a whisper. As far as we can see, she's just completely disappeared.
And Henrietta has been much more like her usual self, hasn't she?
Yes, it's lovely. She seems completely back to normal. She looks great. And she's even been going to church like she used to in the old days.
And she was on great form when she came to supper last week. That was a fun evening. And she even seemed to be getting on well again with old Hasty. And I know they've been at daggers drawn for ages.
Maybe they're both mellowing in old age. But it didn't last. Henrietta and I had a drink together a couple of weeks later. She was looking well and fit. I was still trying to get her to alter her will, and for some strange reason, she was refusing to. And then, suddenly, when I called round the next day, I wasn't allowed in. Jenny said she was ill and in bed. This went on for a week, and I got more worried every day. I decided to go round and see Hasty Lanyon to see if he had any thoughts on what could be wrong.
Hello, Hasty. Oh, my goodness, what's the matter? You look terrible.
Come in, John.
I got the shock of my life. Hasty had always been a kind of Father Christmas figure, robust, full of the joys of spring, partial to his food and wine. And now he was as white as a sheet.
Sit down.
Thin as a rake, and he seemed to have lost a lot of his hair. The worst thing was the look in his eye. He looked like a terrified animal. He had that translucent pallor that comes with approaching death. I realized that as a doctor, he must have known his days were numbered. I was horrified. Hasty, what is it? You're obviously ill. Have you seen a doctor? I mean, I know you're a doctor yourself, but...
I'm dying, John. I know I haven't got long... It's been too much for me, the shock. I reckon I've got a few weeks to live, that's all.
What shock? What are you talking about? Hasty, surely if we get you to a doctor, there will be some treatment.
No, John, I'm going to die, I know it. And I don't want treatment. Life has been pleasant, I've enjoyed it. At least I used to enjoy it.
Oh, there must be something I can do for you.
Henrietta's ill too. She won't let me into the house.
I don't want to hear anything more about Henrietta, please. I'm finished with her. So please don't ever mention her name to me again.
That sounds pretty final.
I mean it to be final. The last time I saw her, last week, I can't talk about it. One day, John, after I'm gone, you'll learn the truth about all this. But I can't tell you any more. I'd love you to stay and talk to me, but only if you promise not to mention Henrietta.
But there must be something I can do for you. Let me take you to the surgery or to the hospital.
I said no, and I mean no. There is nothing to be done.
Oh, dear. I am so sorry. Oh, and it's a pity you've fallen out with Henrietta. You and I and she are old friends, and we're not going to make many more of them.
Well, why don't you ask Henrietta if you want to know more?
She won't see me.
I can't say I'm surprised. But if you can't promise me that you won't talk about Henrietta, you'll have to go. Because I can't bear it.
Okay. Okay, I'll stay. And we can talk about the weather. And the rugby.
And did you talk about the weather?
Well, sort of. He really is in a shockingly weak state. I'm very worried about him. Right, now I'm going to email Henrietta. I need to ask her why she won't see anyone and why she and Hasty have quarrelled so bitterly.
Look forward to her reply.
Oh, Rich!
Coming.
It's a rather strange email. Much of it is just confusing. She says she'll never speak to Hasty again. Look, I'll read it to you. I don't blame Hasty for our quarrel.
But I agree that we will never meet again. From now on, my life will be solitary. But even if you don't see me and my front door remains closed, you are still my friend. And you've been such a good friend, I know, but I have to lead my own life from now on. And it will be a dark and lonely life. I have brought on myself a punishment and a danger that I can't describe. I am a bad woman, John.
What the hell is she talking about, for heaven's sake?
I know, I told you this was a muddle. Look, and she carries on like this. She says, I may be a sinner, but I am suffering terribly too.
I didn't know one could suffer so much or be so frightened. Please, John, just do this one last thing for me. Please don't try and see me or contact me again. I want, like Greta Garbo, to be alone. Love from Henrietta.
But that's ridiculous. For the past 2 months, she's been absolutely fine.
I know. It's a mystery. It's almost as if someone's been getting at her. Or else she's going mad. I don't know.
It's just so sad. She has so much going for her.
So she's basically saying thanks and goodbye.
Yep. It would seem so. I wish I could get Hasty to tell me more about their last meeting, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Sad.
Worse was to come. A week later, Hasty Lanyon took to his bed, and then we got the shocking news less than a fortnight later that he was dead.
I can't believe that he could go so quickly.
Well, the last time I saw him, he had that look on his face. You know, the look when people are terminally ill. It was horrible. So I'm not really surprised.
Here, let's have a drink. That funeral was very intense, and I, for one, am exhausted.
Yes, funerals are always draining, all that emotion. Thanks. I've got that letter Hasty gave me the last time I saw him. I must say, I'm not looking forward to this. I have no idea what's in this envelope, but I'm dreading opening it.
Here, let me top you up.
Let's just get on with it.
Okay, here we go. Private for the hands of John Utterson alone, and in case of his predecease to be destroyed unread. What on earth is this all about? Well, here we go. There's another envelope inside, not to be opened till the death or disappearance of Dr. Henrietta Jekyll. What?
It sounds as if he's expecting Henrietta to die. That's absurd.
I don't like this one bit. This is the second bit of paper which talks about Henrietta's disappearance or death. There's that weird will, but that was Eleanor Hyde's doing. I don't understand what Hasty means by leaving this to me but not allowing me to open it.
Well, we'll never know. I don't expect Henrietta to die or disappear soon, whatever he says. I should just put the letter back in the safe and forget about it.
Yeah, I suppose that's all we can do.
The last time I saw her, last week, I can't. I can't talk about it. One day, John, after I'm gone, you'll learn the truth about all this.
So all I could do was forget about Hasty's letter. In the next couple of weeks, I went round to Henrietta's house several times. It was always Jenny who answered.
Jenny, hello.
It's good to see you. Do you come in?
In a way, it was rather a relief that Henrietta refused to see me. I had no desire deep down to sit in a darkened room with someone who had chosen to live life as a recluse and who would probably refuse to talk to me.
She mainly lives in the rooms above the lab and the operating theatre. She even sleeps there some nights. I think she's very depressed. We've had to cancel all her appointments.
Yes. Are you still getting paid, Jenny? And what about the others? The nurses, the caretaker? What's his name?
Brian. We're all paid by direct debit, so that's fine.
Yeah. Is she eating?
Hardly anything at all, and she's very quiet. I don't know what she does all day. I really don't. It's quite upsetting.
Yes. Look, if you get really worried, please don't hesitate to ring me. Nothing changed for a couple of months. Christmas came and went. We didn't see Henrietta at all. Then one Sunday in early March, Richard and I went out for lunch to one of our favourite restaurants in the East End. We decided to walk home. It was a lovely afternoon. Our route took us down the little street behind Henrietta's house.
I can't believe we took so long to realise this laboratory was at the bottom of Henrietta's garden.
No, but Henrietta only bought it a few years ago. Before that, it was rented out. No to whom, but it was nothing to do with her, so we wouldn't have noticed it.
There's the door, still as shabby as ever. It's a little strange that Henrietta's never done the place up. Well, at least we can be pretty sure we'll never see Eleanor Hyde again.
Indeed. But I feel bad about Henrietta. I just think that if she is so low, it would do her good to see friends.
Which is the window of her study?
It's up there on the second floor.
Oh, look, there she is. It's Henrietta sitting by her window.
So it is. Henrietta, it's us. We're here. Are you feeling better?
Not really, John, no. In fact, I'm feeling a bit low. But it won't last long.
Well, you should get out into the fresh air. You won't get better sitting indoors all the time. You should be outside. Why don't you come down and join us?
That's kind of you, John. I'd really like to, but I can't. I really can't. But it's lovely to see you both. I'd ask you up for a drink, but the place is a total mess.
Oh, well, all right. But then perhaps the best thing we can do is stay down here and talk to you.
Yes, you took the words out of my mouth.
How have you been? What the...
John, look.
Oh, my God, what's the matter with her?
She's terrified.
But of what? Henrietta, what on earth's the matter?
Did you see the expression on her face? That was horrible. She was completely petrified of something.
Oh, God, that was awful.
Oh, whatever she saw was thinking. I've never seen anyone look so utterly frightened out of their wits.
Poor woman.
Good God, Johnny, look. Eleanor Hyde coming out of the lab building.
So it is. Excuse me. Yes, you. Can you come here?
We should ring the police. Keep her talking for a bit, Johnny. Ask her about Henrietta, maybe.
That's just what I was thinking. Hey, Eleanor, stop a second, please. We want to talk to you.
What do you want?
We would just want a quick word with you, that's all.
Emergency, which service do you require?
Yes, police, please. Here she comes.
Hi, Eleanor. How are you?
Fine. What do you want?
We wondered if you could tell us how Henrietta is. We're worried about her. She doesn't seem at all well.
Hello, police service.
Put that bloody phone away!
Oh, my God, stop that! Leave him alone! God, Rich, are you all right?
I think I'm fine. God, that woman. Where's the phone? We need the police.
Oh, she's gone back into the house, so we should be able to get her. Hello?
Hello, police?
Yes, please, yes, urgently. It's about the murderer of Lady Carew. She's here, and there's been an assault, too, so we'll need an ambulance. Quick as possible, please. Now, just sit there quietly, Rich. Let me look at you.
Just bruised, I think.
Well, we'll let the medics decide on that. Sorry?
What's your location, sir?
Yes, I'll give you the address. In there. Look, that back door. You might have to break it down. She's in there. Eleanor Hyde, the woman who killed Deborah Carew. Look, she just attacked my friend here, too. Go!
Are you positive, sir?
Yes, of course I'm... Oh, look, just hurry up.
And you are?
John Utterson, lawyer, and this is Richard Benfield, High Court judge. Now, will you just get on with it?
Now then, I'm Susie. This is my colleague, Mark. Let's just have a look at you, sir.
I think I'm fine.
Right, lads. Ready? On my count.
Right.
One, two.
Well, sir... There's no one in there except for Dr. Jekyll. Now, she says she lives there. And she says she's been in there all the time and no one has been in or out.
That is ridiculous. We saw her go in. Eleanor Hyde, I mean.
Well, there's nothing more we can do, sir. I hope your friend isn't hurt.
Oh, for goodness sake. Richard here was attacked by her.
Do you have any witnesses, sir?
No. Damn it, no.
Well, I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do.
How are you feeling now we're home?
Bruised and stiff, but fine otherwise. I think a hot bath would be a good thing.
That's a good idea. Look, I've got to go round to see Henrietta.
Be careful.
Yes, I will.
Henrietta!
Oh, God, no.
Henrietta, let me in.
Just go away. Hello?
Henrietta, it's me. John, will you please let me in? I need to talk to you.
Oh, John, I can't see you. I'm not feeling too well, sorry.
Look, I need to know where Eleanor Hyde is. We saw her go into the lab earlier. Where is she? You know she's wanted for murder, and if you're hiding her, you're an accessory.
I'm not hiding her. I don't know where she is, but she's not here.
Yes, so the police said. I don't believe you.
Well, she's not here, and I don't know where she is. Now I've got to go. Bye, John.
Oh, damn it, blast. What the hell is going on?
Richard, are you feeling okay this morning?
Yes, I'm well on the mend, thanks.
You were lucky.
More toast, John?
No, hang on a moment. Just turn up the radio, can you?
What can you tell us about this latest incident?
Well, it was a particularly vicious assault that took place late last night, but the body wasn't discovered until the early hours of this morning.
That's Newcomen, Scotland Yard Inspector.
The body's not been formally identified yet, but he's believed to be a local drug dealer.
Can you comment on the speculation that this isn't gang-related, but is in some way connected with the murder a few months ago of Lady Carew?
We're pursuing a number of lines of inquiry. It's true that both happened in the same district, and both were beaten to death, quite savagely, by the look of things.
Good God, that's bad. So Eleanor Hyde is still around. This is a nightmare. Why can't they catch her? I mean, it's only yesterday that we saw her.
I just don't know. It's so frustrating. Well, I'm off to work. See you later. Let's hope they catch her today. It can't be that difficult.
Someone to see you, John.
Oh, who is it, Roger?
It's me, Mr. Utterson.
Jenny, how good to see you. Have a seat, please.
I'm sorry to bother you at the office.
Cup of tea? I've just made a pot.
Please. Sorry, yes, that would be lovely.
Are you all right, Jenny? It's a surprise to see you. Is everything all right? Is Henrietta worse?
Well, there's something wrong.
Here's the tea.
Thanks, Roger.
I'll be outside if you need me.
Jenny, what's the matter? Sorry, have some tea and don't go slowly.
Well, Mr. Utterson...
No, do call me John, please. We've known each other long enough.
Okay, John. Well, you know what Henrietta's like. You know how sometimes she shuts herself up, mostly for long days in the lab when she's not operating. That's when she's mixing up the lotions she prescribes and the collagen and Botox for injections, and we're used to that. But this is different. She's cancelled all her patients. She's shut herself in there for a week now. And I don't like it one bit. I think something's happened.
Happened? To whom?
To Henrietta.
What sort of something?
I don't quite know, but I want you to come with me and find out.
Right. Well, who's in the house at the moment?
I think one of the nurses will still be there, and Brian this afternoon.
Do you want me to call the police?
No, not just yet, in case I'm wrong.
Right. The door into Henrietta's study is locked, is it?
Yes, it is.
Right. And do you have a key?
I do, but there's a bolt on the other side of the door. It's entirely possible that she's bolted herself inside.
Well, in which case we'd have to break the door down. I wouldn't be too happy about that.
I'm sure Brian could do it. But all I want you to do now is just come and talk to her and see what you think.
I wouldn't want us to do anything illegal.
Oh, please, just come with me.
Okay. Okay, we'll get a cab. Roger, can you book me a cab on the company account, please?
Consider it done.
I'll just get my coat. What a gale. Seems to have driven everyone inside. There's hardly anyone on the streets.
Mm.
Oh, cheer up, Jenny. It may still turn out all right.
I don't think so.
Well, let's see what we find when we get there.
Here we are, and I'm hoping against hope there's nothing wrong and I've been a fool.
Oh, you're never a fool, Jenny. Come on, let's go inside. Thank you.
Oh, Jenny, I'm glad you're home.
Hi, Rachel. Has anything happened while I've been gone?
No, we were just worried.
This is John Utterson, Henrietta's lawyer, and he's a good friend.
Hello.
Is Brian around?
Yes, somewhere. Do you want him? I'll text him.
Please, it'd be good to have him here. Tell him to meet us at the lab as soon as possible.
Will do.
So, John, shall we go across to the lab?
Certainly.
Okay, follow me.
Do you want me to come too?
Yes, why not?
Oh, Brian's on his way.
The storm hasn't let up, has it?
Well, it seems slightly worse, if anything.
Here we go. We have to go through the lab and the theatre to get to the staircase, and that goes up to the study.
Oh, hi, Brian. This is John Utterson.
Oh, how do, sir?
Hello, Brian.
Oh dear, that's Petal. She used to be such a sweet little thing, but I'm afraid she's suddenly turned into a very aggressive little animal. She tries to bite your hand off when you feed her. I've been trying to persuade Henrietta to let the vet have a look at her, but so far no good.
Well, I'm glad I don't have to feed her. She looks pretty dangerous.
I know, and she used to be such an attractive little thing. John, stay here, but don't make a sound. I'm going to knock on her door and ask if she'll see you, but I don't want you to speak. Just listen very carefully to what she says. Is that okay with you? I don't want her to know you're here, but I want you to listen very carefully to her reply.
Yes, it's fine.
You stay here and I'll go on up. Henrietta? Are you in there? John Utterson's here to see you.
Tell him, I can't see anyone. Not even him. I can't see him.
Okay, don't worry. Let's go back into the house. John, what do you think? Did that sound like Henrietta to you?
Look, I don't know. It didn't sound at all like her. That sounded different somehow.
It is completely different, John. I've worked here for 15 years and I would recognise her voice anywhere, and that is not her voice.
Well, look, if she's ill, perhaps.
No, it's just so unlike her. It couldn't be her voice, however ill she was.
Well, I've worked here for 5 years and I don't recognise that voice. That just doesn't sound like Dr. Henrietta.
It isn't her, I'm sure.
Rachel, what are you getting at?
I'll tell you what I think. I think that Henrietta has been murdered.
No!
I think she's been dead for 8 days.
You can't mean this!
Well, 8 days ago we heard a dreadful scream, didn't we?
I certainly heard it. I was in the lab tidying up, it was horrible.
Yeah, and I was in the garden, so I only heard it from a distance.
And I think she was killed, and someone else is in that room.
Good God, it can't be. No, you must be wrong. I mean, this is wild speculation. It's madness. And even suppose Henrietta had been murdered, why would the murderer stay on? I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Okay, John, let me try and convince you of my theory. All this last week, whoever it is who's been living in that room has been shouting night and day for some sort of medicine. We've had endless scripts hurled out of the door, sometimes 4 or 5 in a day. We've been picking up prescriptions from outside her study, on the staircase. She's in there without her laptop or her phone. She left them on the front desk. I tried to persuade her to open the door and take the laptop, but she refused. She wouldn't even open the door half an inch. She's refused to see anyone. We've had to leave her meals outside the door, and she's barely touched the food anyway.
Well, I suppose she could be working on a project.
Without her laptop or her phone, it's not really likely, is it? I've been backwards and forwards to the chemist at least 20 times, and sometimes Rachel's had to go too.
Yes, I had to go to the wholesaler's yesterday, and what I brought back was thrown out of her study with a new prescription for something different. Henrietta wrote on a script that the first lot wasn't pure, so I had to take it back.
Did you recognise the prescription details?
Some of it I've seen before. It's not what we normally use here. But this new batch, I've no idea what it is. She seems to need it desperately.
Have you kept any of these prescriptions?
Yeah, here's the latest one. There's a note attached.
Oh, dear James...
Yes, James Moore. She's known him for years.
Dear James, the last batch of medication you sent me is impure and quite useless for my present purpose. Last year I bought a large quantity from you, and if you have any of the same batch left, could you possibly dig it out and send it to me? Charge me what you like. This is vital.
That doesn't sound like Henrietta. She was always careful with the pennies. And read the bit at the end.
For God's sake, send me some of the original medication.
Well, that's a very strange note. You're right.
The man at Moore's got so cross with me, he lost his temper in the shop and threw it back at me.
Oh, dear. I can see it's Henrietta's handwriting.
Yes, definitely, but there's another thing.
What now?
I've seen her.
Seen her?
Yes. I was walking into the theatre 2 days ago from the garden. There was someone at the other end, emptying the shelves, throwing bottles and jars onto the floor and clearly looking for something.
Well, did you speak to her?
I was just about to, but she saw me and gave a loud scream and rushed up the stairs to her study.
But it was Henrietta.
No, it wasn't.
What?
I only saw her for a moment, but I tell you, it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up as if I'd seen a ghost.
Why?
Because if it had been Henrietta, why did she have her face covered?
Covered?
Yes. And if it was Henrietta, why did she scream like a banshee and run away from me?
But maybe she's ill. Perhaps she's in agony. Could it be some sort of horrible skin disease? Psoriasis, maybe. Which, you know, I know can be torture. She's doubled up in pain. Would that be possible, Rachel?
Well, it could be psoriatic arthritis, I suppose. That's an acute inflammation of the joints. And with it, you get a terrible form of skin eczema, but as far as I know, she's never shown any symptoms in the past. It's quite rare.
There you are, Jenny. There could be a natural explanation for her behaviour. She's ill. She doesn't want you to see her in this kind of state. If she's covered in a rash and she's desperate for the drugs to make it better, let's hope she gets the medication she needs and soon. Look, it's horrible and it's sad, but I think that's the answer, and we should try and help her.
I'm sorry, John, but no, the person I saw was not Henrietta. I absolutely know it was not. Henrietta's a tall woman. She's taller than me, and this person was, well, more of a dwarf.
Oh, no, this can't be right,
John,
Jenny.
You don't realise how well I know Henrietta. I've worked here for 15 years. I saw her every day during the week. I know exactly where her head comes in relation to the study door. I know exactly what she looks like as well as I know myself in the mirror. And that thing was not her. It wasn't. I truly think that Henrietta's been murdered.
Well, in that case, I think we should go in and find out.
Jenny, think carefully about what you're saying. If you seriously think Henrietta has been killed, then we should phone the police and get them to break down the door. I should ring Inspector Newcomb.
No, don't do that. I think we should go in first by ourselves and see what's in there. There are four of us, after all, and if we don't find Henrietta in there, then we can call the police in.
Well, I don't feel comfortable not ringing them. But I suppose it would be all right to just have a look first and assess the situation. But as soon as we know what the score is, we have to get them involved, OK?
Good. I'll get the key, just in case. It might not be bolted on the inside, who knows. Brian, have you got something we can bash the lock open with if necessary?
Yeah, I'll get me crowbar.
Jenny, let's get one thing clear. That figure you saw, did you recognise it?
Well, she got up the stairs so quickly that I couldn't swear to anything. If you're asking me if I think it was Eleanor Hyde, then yes. To be honest, I think it was. She was the same size as Eleanor and had that same quick way with her, those light footsteps.
So you do think that the person you saw was Eleanor?
Yes, I do. You've met her, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Well, then you'll know there's something about her, something which makes your blood run cold. I'm sorry to sound melodramatic, but I can't think of another way of putting it. I just found her repulsive.
Oh, I agree. I didn't warm to her. There is something very odd about her.
Exactly. So when she jumped down from the cupboards and scurried up the stairs, I was terrified. It was just so awful. I know it's not evidence, John. I'm not that stupid. But every bone in my body tells me it's Eleanor Hyde in there.
You're very convincing, Jenny. I've known you a long time and I trust you. But you're right. Your feelings aren't evidence, and evidence is what we need. I felt for a long time that the friendship between Henrietta and Eleanor might end in disaster, and from what you've been saying, I'm afraid that Hyde might have done Henrietta some terrible harm. Let's hope not.
Once I heard her weeping.
Weeping? What do you mean?
Weeping like a child. It was so sad. I almost cried too.
Oh, dear. How awful.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Look, we'd better hurry up and see what we can find out.
Right, let's go. I've got the crowbar.
Right, let's do what we have to do.
I can't say as I like this very much.
None of us do, Brian. But we need to find out the truth.
Rachel, will you lock the garden door behind us?
Sure.
go first. You follow me and be very careful going up the stairs. She'll hear you otherwise. Now just stop and listen. Can you hear them? Her footsteps. She walks all the time, day and night, never seems to sleep and only stops walking when a new batch of drugs is delivered. Tell me, John, listen. Is that Henrietta's walk?
No, you're right. I don't think it sounds like her. This is horrible.